he's not paying.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how much juice or au jus Spanky, the big fella has.
I just want to tell you, Spanky, I love you. You're listening to the show, which you always do. You're the best. Love you, Spanky.
Well, now that's officially an FCC violation if you get free tickets. That would be payola plugola.
What are you talking
about? If your boy Spanky hooks you up after a shout-out?
No.
You know what?
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, KGMZ San Francisco, the radio home for every Warriors playoff game.
We're gonna play on.
It's Dan.
I want you to.
It's time. With.
Got him. Love it. Absolutely love it. One of my favorite times ever doing mornings, Townie Low and Dibs, was a time when one of my partners slept through.
Oh, yeah.
He slept through his alarm. So I turned that into, let's call his cell phone constantly and find out what's going on.
Who was that?
That was Rick Bucher, who used to be on this program years ago, and he now joins us, NBA writer for Bleach Report, also a host on Sirius XM. Good morning, Buke. How are you?
What are we going to do next? We're going to bring back the time that the dunkers threw me off when I was doing
Snyder? Hey, guys, you hear that? Cancel the audio I was going to throw to in 2 minutes. Cancel the dunkers audio, please. Thank you.
I remember people going, oh, my God, is Bucher having a stroke on air?
Rick, if I had a dollar for every time that I have played that, and thank you for being such a good sport, but I would have retired months ago because I've gotten so much mileage out of that baby.
I only wish that I was getting some kind of retro action dividends from that thing for all the times that it's been played.
Well, maybe if you would have trademarked it like Draymond Green has reportedly trademarked Hampton 5. Not Hampton's 5, but Hampton 5. Had you just trademarked, I got distracted by the dunkers, you'd be a millionaire.
Yeah. What could have been? That's all right. I'm good.
Yeah, he's doing okay. So, Buke, what are you expecting for Game 3? Because we've been talking about it. Under Steve Kerr, we've never seen the Warriors start on the road. So it's 1-1 coming back to Oracle.
Yeah, look, I don't know that there has to be any grand change. I know everybody wants lineup changes and everything else. But as I look at that, the score in Game 2, I know it looks like a blowout. I guess you'd call it a blowout. But I feel that there were a couple times in that game where they had the opportunity to tighten the noose, and they just missed it. And the energy, we've seen it. Look, we've seen this every round. We saw it against the Pelicans. We saw it against San Antonio. They'll have a game where they get a little sloppy, they get a little loose, the game gets away from them, and the fallback is, let's start jacking some threes and try to get back into it fast. They're not hitting. That results in long rebounds, and it compounds the problem, and the game just gets beyond what they're able to cover. So I don't know that there's any grand change that has to be made. They just need to get back to playing a little more consistent and I don't want to say cautious, but more detail oriented at both ends of the floor, and they should be fine. They are, without question, the better team. They accomplished what they wanted to accomplish going to Houston, which is, rather than waste the entire season trying to get home court advantage, let's just take one game and then we're there. And so they got that done. I would expect that you're going to see more of the team that you saw in Game 1, and that should be enough.
That's truly an efficient way to put it. You spend one game getting home court advantage as opposed to 82. It doesn't get much more efficient than that. I'm concerned, Rick, and hopefully you can maybe assuage my fears about Steph Curry. It seems to me that the mobility issues on defense are carrying over offensively. Does he look right to you?
Well, he doesn't look 100%, but I don't know that it's an injury. I don't know that the knee is hampering him. I'm looking at the fact that he was off for 6 weeks, and he's, what, 6-7 games back? And you're playing a pace and a style that is twice as fast and twice as hard as the regular season. And if he wasn't going by anybody, but he's gone by just about every. He's gone by Chris Paul. He's gone by Clint Capella. The last time he had a knee issue, he couldn't get past Kevin Love or get airspace against Kevin Love. That told me he's not right. So I just think it's a matter of they're going at him at every opportunity, and that's going to wear him down. There are times where he makes it really difficult on Chris Paul. I don't know that anybody makes it difficult on James Harden, and James Harden has got a size advantage on him, so there's only so much that he can do. But by the way, can we – like, we have the two plays where Chris Paul chucked him, and we've got GIFs out there or GIFs out there, however you want to pronounce it, that are suggesting that he got shook on those plays. He got chucked on those plays, okay? Chris Paul's not, like, blowing by Steph Curry and finishing at the rim. He's getting a step. He's jitterbugging. But I just, you know, ultimately, I don't think it's Steph. Honestly, I don't think Steph was the problem in game two. I think Draymond Green was the problem in game two. That was as ineffective a playoff game as I've seen Draymond play, and I would expect that we're not going to see another one of those in some time.
Well, when you look at the way the Warriors are playing basketball, we understand they pass the ball, and it's a moving. They want to move the ball to get pass up a good shot for a great shot. But it seems as if they're moving the ball, and the end in mind is to get it to KD. How does this team let KD still feast? KD is going to be KD. He's one of the best shooters in the league the game's ever seen. Can create shots, seven-footer. But how do they not necessarily go so much to KD for other guys can get the feel of the game as well?
Yeah, no, it's a great point because it's so easy to look at KD and he's scoring against pretty much any matchup. So when you get into trouble, you need a momentum changer. It's like, well, let's give it to KD. I think that the distinction, and I saw it, I mean, really, if you look at game one and game two, there was just little subtle things that made all the difference. Draymond Green and Andre Iguodala had opportunities to score, and they defaulted to swinging the ball to KD. You just can't. Those guys have to be threats. When they have an opportunity to score, they have to take that opportunity, even when they're not making it, because otherwise it just slows. The one thing is KD's not scoring fast. KD's catching. The one thing I do love is if you count, he's taking at most two dribbles before he gets into his shot. But he's going to pivot. He's going to swing, then shake, two dribbles, the ball's going up. I like that. But that's a much slower pace, and it doesn't make the entire team a collective threat that forces everybody on the Rockets to work. It only makes the guys who are guarding KD work at any given time. So I would expect that they're going to look at that tape. I mean, that was the thing that jumped out at me in game one. Harden and Chris Paul are working their asses off to get a shot. And I knew that that was not going to last. Meanwhile, I'm watching KD get his, but I'm watching David West get a little slip. I'm watching Clay get stuff going to the basket. Draymond Green is scoring here and there. Like, that's what it has to be. And I felt like the Warriors did a lot of what the Rockets did in game one and ended up with the same result. And I would expect that they'll look at film and they'll realize, hey, we've got opportunities. There are opportunities there for other guys to score, and they simply didn't take them.
Great stuff, Buke. We appreciate it. Hope the family's well, and we'll see you out at Oracle for game three.
You got it.
Rick Bucher, and a texter's reminding me, and you remember this, Anna, from the mean streets of Half Moon Bay.
Oh, that's right.
You got to watch yourself in Half Moon Bay.
Yeah, yeah. If you're on the wrong side of Highway 1, it can get... What? What are we talking about?
I'm afraid when I go down there.
It's no Montara, and it's no Pacifica.
When I'm playing golf at the Ritz-Carlton, I always have a little fear.
Totally.
A little fear base.
Kind of like being up at Glen Eagles here in McLaren Park. Same sort of vibe.
Yeah, that Ritz-Carlton, man, you got to watch your back when you're out there at Half Moon Bay.
Especially if you're on the Carlton side. If you're on the Ritz side, you're all right, but...
I love that golf course.
I know
you
do.
The old course.
Yes.
The old course.
How many times you paid to play there, Chris?
Oh, a ton. I always pay when I play there. I'm like Lorenzo Neal.
Whoa. I don't try. I pay.
I pay at every golf course I play.
Yeah.
Liar! No, I swear. He said some things right there that are very interesting. And, you know, we always see it through the eyes of the Warriors, but sometimes you got to look through the enemy's eyes.
Joe Lowendibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
I want to hear, like, what the breakfast items you brought today are what?
So I brought melamukarana.
Of course.
Uh-huh.
Baklava.
Got to have that.
Yeah.
And kataiti.
My favorite. Kataiti.
Uh-huh.
Just like
that's how I want my update.
I had kataiti when I went to Mexico about 7 years ago. It took me weeks to get rid of it. Like kataiti stays with you. Trust me.
Montezuma's Revenge.
Yeah, there is a cream for it, but it's very expensive to get rid of that kataiti.
You get that kataiti.
Trouble.
Yeah, you're going to.
Especially in the wrong place.
You're going to lose some weight.
Just look out for that garlic de burico.
Oh, no joke. That garlic de burico.
Are you coming tomorrow?
Yeah, kid.
You're coming?
It's in my neighborhood.
Yes.
Deep Oakland, as you like to say.
Hey, off the freeway takes forever to get there.
Not if you take the correct freeway, Tanzanopoulos.
Yeah, you got to
take the right freeway, man. You up and down that Oak Town.
I live at the Coliseum. Anything other than the Coliseum to me.
580 13.
Shout out Highway 13.
Yeah.
Shout out 66 and Hagenberger.
There you go.
There you go. You know, we talk so much about the Warriors. How about the Rockets? Do you think they actually thought they'd win both games? I don't think they did.
No, I think, well, we had the Houston morning show on last week. We did one of those cross talks where we're on their air.
Oh,
and
that's
on ours.
Creative. That's good stuff.
I love how you like to hate on what we put out, and then I listen to your show, and you're doing the same tired garbage that you did 20 years ago.
First of all, you do not
coming
listen.
Up next,
wow, his material.
Make the call. Oh, guys, the best game in sports radio. Make the call.
You don't have listen. I got a stat for you.
You're lying. You don't listen to the show.
That's true.
Thank you.
So
you're just lying.
No new material.
So what did the morning show say? The frivolity that you guys had with the morning show?
Oh, it was heated back and forth.
Oh.
Well, those things go one of two ways. Either it's six people talking over each other and it's an absolute train wreck.
Yeah.
Or it's kind of a respectful back and forth, which this was. But it came time for predictions after I had clowned them for a good 5 minutes.
He did.
Body blow. They said Warriors in six, Townie, on their air. And Houston Rockets Twitter apparently melted down over it because their own host was saying, yeah, Warriors in six. So to your point, I don't think that the Rockets themselves thought, oh, we're going to handle both these games. We're going back to Oakland up 2-0. They probably thought a split was most likely, and it is.
Yeah, I thought that they were thinking, if you're the Rockets, you're saying, look, let's just take care of home. Let's take care of home. You know how tough it is. Let's just win these two games. And I thought they were probably thinking behind enemy lines they could win those two. Hey, we've earned this right. Why do you fight so hard to be the number one seed? Where you can have home court throughout the playoffs, and that's why they were in that situation. So I thought that they believed that they were going to win both those games. They knew how tough and how gaunted it was.
Really,
going
you
to
think
be.
They thought they were going to win both games?
Yeah. You have to.
No chance.
You have to.
And I think you fight for home court for game seven more than you do for game one.
Do you think the Dubs feel they're going to win both these games?
Yes.
Of course.
Absolutely.
Well, no question.
Well, that's a team that's won 15 straight at home and is the defending champion. So
yeah, but you had a number one team in the Rockets.
But they've won a road game in 18 straight playoffs. They're one away from the record.
Have you got a stat for us?
There you go.
Yeah. I'm just
held by the Miami Heat, by the way, is 19.
Well, so if that...
You deserve it. It's a little one.
It's not one of my best.
Yeah, that stat was... Anyway,
wow.
I really believe. So now are you thinking that the Rockets are on this road trip believing they're going to win a game? Of course. They think they're going to win.
They need to win a game. And then they kind of get their home court back. And I thought it was interesting what Bueker said. You play, what, how many months?
Six.
7 months,
yeah, seven.
Whatever it is. How long have we been playing? 7 months?
It's October to April, so that would be 6 months, Chris.
Okay, 6 months, you worked to get home court, and one game, the Warriors took it back.
What's the difference in what I said? You thought that was interesting what Bruker said, and I've been saying the Warriors did what they needed to do. They went and split, and it's 1-1, and now they have home court. So I'm explaining that to
What's
me,
the
please.
Way that Rick laid it out about 6 months of working that Houston did to get the number one seed, whereas the Warriors simply... took it away in 48 minutes. It was the way he broke it down, the way he enunciated it.
Don't worry.
So eloquent.
You're still pretty and cute and everything's nice. Don't worry. We still love you.
Skinny in the waist and pretty in the face.
Yeah, you're still the greatest blocking fullback in the history of the game. Nothing's changed.
Okay.
You good?
I'm good. All right. I'm good. Well, yeah, I just...
Yeah, like Rick was saying, when Rick said it so eloquently, 6 months for the Rockets to get it, and the Warriors took it away in 48 minutes. Really, really good, Rick.
I'm done. I got nothing for you.
Okay, great. He's out of words, Coach. This happens usually about this time every show. He runs out of words.
You ready? You need a little coffee?
Oh, my God. You guys are too funny. But no, I think when you're the home team and you work for that, I really believe that they thought they could win both games. And they knew that this was going to be tough cotton, tall order to come here and win. And now it's shift. The narrative has shifted. Their coaching staff and the Rockets now and saying, guys, we put ourselves here. We got to find a way to win one. We have to find a way. So it's interesting how it shifts because now they're not playing with home court. The Warriors are. So they have served. So this is going to be an interesting game. So I know the Rockets are saying, guys, we embarrassed them. If you're the Rockets, their coach is going to say, guys, we embarrassed them. We showed that we can play with them. We showed that we could dominate, and there was nothing they can do. This, guys, we can't have the same thing. And you're asking what the enemy's saying. They're saying their coach, their players are saying, we can't allow to go out there flat like they did in game two, because they just thought that now we know who they are. They can lay down and it's going to happen. This same narrative happened to the Warriors, guys, in game two. The Rockets got beat the first game. The Warriors said, okay, we're still ready, but they didn't play like they were really ready. So now they're coming out here. The Warriors are going to give them their best. And the Rockets coach, their enemy lines are saying, guys, they want to make a statement. We have to be able to match their intensity. That's all they're saying in Houston is we have to come out and match the Dubs' intensity.
And match the result, which was a split. Because if you're Houston and you come here and you get the same split that the Warriors got, now it's a three-game series, and you've got home court again with two of the final three potentially being in Houston. That's why I think the Warriors come out in Game 3. They handle their business over Houston, knowing full well that Houston is trying to just get a victory of the two here. I think that it's a Warriors bounce back. The real intrigue for me, the intriguing game, will be game four with the Warriors up 2-1.
The number is 888-957-9570. That's 888-957-9570. We'll get to your calls. If you're going to lose a game and you're the Rockets, do you want it to be the first? Do you want it to be the second? And, you know, how you're going to be coming to Oracle. You know you're going to be coming 1-1. Do you want to win that second game the way they did so you come here having confidence? What would you rather, win or lose game one or two?
Yeah, I think the second you won so you know that you can beat them and you know that you can beat them and you can beat them bad. But here's the thing for me. I think the Warriors understand what's at stake now. You're talking about a team that you said, okay, and everyone's been saying, it's just the way they lose. I don't think that I think it's possible, but I don't think it's probable whether they lose a game here, the Dubs, that is, at home. I don't think you'll see a motorboating. You won't see where the Dubs lose by 10 or 15 or 20 like they've been losing. No, I think that the games are going to be very, very competitive. They're going to be very intense. And if there's going to be any blowout, it's going to be by the Dubs because of the fact that the Warriors know they right now are holding court. They have to keep serve. They understood going on the road. They said, guys, the whole mindset was to get one, to get a split on the road. And they did that. They know now if they lose at home, now the repercussions is more. Now it means more. So in my opinion, the Dubs understands. So I think you're going to see a motivated team that's going to play two games at their best. You're not going to see a team that's going to lay down in the fourth or call off the dogs. They are going to compete, in my opinion.
Leroy in Oakland, good morning. You're on 95.7.
Hey, good morning, guys. Happy Friday. Hey, I just wanted to chime in on the Warriors and Houston. And, you know, I think a very important thing for you guys to look at this series is how the Warriors make the other Houston Rocket players passers, other than Chris Paul. Because to me, if Chris Paul is having Chris Paul-like numbers, I think for his career he's like almost 19 points a game, 10 assists, we're going to have problems. They're going to have to keep Chris Paul under 6 assists a game. When he's dishing that rock and getting people involved, the Warriors have problems. I would like to see Chris Paul's numbers, how they were in the first game. I think it was something like 25, 28 points, 3 assists. We have to keep him there because he is the X factor. And if he's throwing those dimes around, we're in trouble. And so I want you guys to keep an eye on that because I think the second game he only had 16 points and he only had 6 assists, but that was the most assists on his team.
Well, I'll give it to you. He had 23 points and 3 assists in game 1. Game 2, he had 16 points and 6 assists. The one guy that really changed, and thank you for the phone call, the one guy that really changed, Trevor Ariza had 0 assists in game 1. He had 6 in game 2. Gary St. Jean coming up here in 3 minutes.
And dimes become dimes when the player receiving the change makes the shot. And that was the difference between game 1 and game 2. PJ Tucker, Trevor Ariza, they didn't score much in game 1. So it's tough to get an assist, Townie. And this may be too groundbreaking for you, Lo, but it's tough to get an assist when the guy you pass to doesn't score.
That is very much a fact. That was
pretty
very
deep. Thank you.
Wait a minute.
When you look
you just blew my mind.
Yeah. When you look at the difference between game 1 and 2, in game 2, what happened? They made shots. So these same passes, and Houston attempted, what, one more pass in game 2 than they did in game 1? The numbers were almost identical between the two teams, but the difference is they were making the shots in game 2.
Well, and also, the guy just wasn't passing to you with 5 seconds left saying, here, now you shoot it.
Right.
Good luck. You screw up your shooting percentage.
They were getting on-time three-point looks. P.J. Tucker was getting them where he's comfortable in the sharp corner, and as a result, they were able to make those shots.
Yeah, you start looking at it low.
And that's why Chris Paul was able to penetrate. Dibs was talking about, alluding to earlier, here's Chris Paul, why is his assist up? Because here's a guy who can penetrate and hit the jump shot, penetrate, throw it high off the glass, and penetrate and kick. And when he's doing that, you have the defense at times collapse on you. We saw because Steph, sometimes defensively, there's a liability at times. So when he's penetrating and all of a sudden guys try to collapse, they move open knockdown shooter, and then you see him there were bearing it. So that's what Houston did. They made shots in the first series, the first game. They didn't make shots. And like you alluded to as well, the shot clock was on their side because of the fact the ball movement was more.
Let's go to MJ in Santa Clara. You're on 95.7.
Hey, guys. How are you? Good morning.
Good morning.
Awesome. So, guys, I'm a Warriors fan, but I got to tell you, I'm really worried about this series. If you think about game 1, Houston controlled the first 2 quarters. Warriors controlled the next 2 quarters, right? Third and fourth. Game 2, Houston controlled from the get-go, right? So I have the Houston Rockets up 6 quarters versus 2. So I'm really, really worried. And the year the Warriors lost the NBA Finals against Cleveland, Curry was not right. And Curry's not right this year. So I'm really worried about the Warriors. Go Warriors, but man, it's going to be a tough one.
Thank you, MJ. And don't worry too much.
And the difference dips, in my opinion, when he's saying, oh, yeah, when they lost against the Cavs in that series, there was a guy that they didn't have. A KD, you want to compare a KD to Harrison Barnes. With all due respect, you can't compare the two.
That's good. I agree. Harrison Barnes. Do we have him? Do we have the saintly one? Gary St. Jean joins us. Of course, you see him on NBC Bay Area doing Warriors pre- and post-game live. Good morning, saintly.
Tony, you're up early, buddy. I really thought you might have been in Windsor at the wedding.
I got to tell you, this is really early for me, Saint. I mean, really.
I get up early, but not that early.
Yeah, well, I mean, especially usually if I'm getting up this early, there's usually a Bloody Mary waiting for me, and that's not happening. All right, so we got 2 different games, and actually Lowe broke it down pretty well. It's like, you know, the Warriors, they either blow you out or they get blown out. So you look at game 1, you look at game 2, what are you expecting for game 3?
I'm expecting Steph Curry to go a little better than 1 for 13 on his threes. I'm expecting Oracle to be great. I'm expecting the Warriors not to turn the ball over 7 times in the first quarter, 11 for the half. They dug a hole, and you got to give them credit. You know, but Lowell will tell you, when you give a team in a big game momentum, it's tough to get it away. You know, you cut it down to 10, you think you're going to get – we're so spoiled, we think they're going to make a big run. But, my gosh, we said going into the game that look at Tucker and Ariza. They scored 9 points in the first game. Well, at halftime, they had 28, and tie that in with Gordon shooting lights out, they played great. They up-tempoed their offense off of the turnovers. They stopped holding the ball and shooting with less than 5 seconds left. So it's going to be a great game. These are the two best teams in the league. No offense to Boston and Cleveland. And I think Sunday's going to be an awesome game.
Say, anyone, you've coached. You did it on every level. You commentate now. You've seen a lot of superstars. You've coached a lot of superstars. How would you, if you're Kerr, and if you're Steve Kerr right now, I understand that Kevin Durant is the best 7-foot shooter we've ever seen. The guy, every shot is a great shot because he can create space. He can get over guys. But how would you go away from him to get the others more touches? What would you do? Because you know Kevin Durant can take over any time. How do you game plan to make sure the rhythm of the other players are there?
You know, Lo, it's a great point, and you got to do that by the seat of your pants during the flow of the game. But the simple message is this. Quick first side shots are infectious. Holding the ball is infectious. Let's change sides of the floor. The simplicity of going, say, from left to right, right to left. Let's change sides, make the defense shift, and then attack. And if we just do that, we're going to find openings because they're not in a stationary position on D. They're moving, so if they run at the shooter, we drive by, and I have a good shot, but Towney has a great shot. The Warriors' mantra through Steve Kerr is give that guy the ball. And for that reason, we're not going to see Klay Thompson take 8 shots. We're going to get him the ball in good rhythm. I'm going to look for Steph to be a little bit more off the ball, maybe Draymond handling, Andre handling more, because maybe you know, the eye test tells you he doesn't look as quick or the ability to just escape from people. So maybe they help him out in that way. But to your point, Lo, Kevin Durant is amazing. I'm sitting there, and I'm just, my mouth is open. I've watched so many great players over my 40 years. He is just unreal. I just marvel at what he can do.
Gary St. Jean here on 95.7 The Game. As we look toward a possible starting lineup, and I'm of the same mind as you, that really the finishing lineup is more important. But for the sake of the argument, the starting five, Andre Iguodala, do you think the Warriors are better off with him coming off the bench as per usual or starting him with that Hampton 5 lineup?
Well, game one, it looked great. Game two, it didn't. Do you need to make a change coming home? You know, the coaching staff is going to walk through all the scenarios. My key is I know there's so much switching going on with both teams. But I sure like the advantage of having Klay or Andre guarding Harden. I just think that's imperative as much as you can. So now, would you like maybe a little more uplift from your bench and bring him in to key the defense, to key to get you in the open floor? I would have no issue if they started Looney. None. I don't know who else you guys would suggest they start because we're just going to see. We're not letting the cat out of the bag. What's their game plan? Every single time they want to go at Steph Curry or whoever our big is on the floor, that's their isolation that they want. And anytime Steph Curry has the ball and he's coming to the hoop, they want to put him down on the ground. And listen, he's a great player. They don't have anybody at the skill level of him. So how do you deal with that? You put him right on his fanny.
Saintly, I'm looking at the Channel 2 news, and they're preparing us for the royal wedding. Can you imagine you and I crashing that over there?
You know, Townie, I don't like their drinks. I don't like their cakes. I mean, I don't know. I'm having a hard time with the bitters and all that kind of stuff when I'm watching. You know, I got my show on. I'm watching the Today Show. I'm watching all the preliminaries. You know what my duties would be over there, Townie? I'd have that big shovel, and I'd be shoveling up the poop from those horses that are going to be going down the road. And that would be me running up behind those beautiful horses, shoveling the poop.
Stanley, don't underestimate your impact on a global scale. I think we could get you a more important job than that, certainly, come royal wedding time. Gary St. Jean here on 95.7 The Game. Of course, the Royal Wedding Part 3 tipping off tomorrow at about 4 o'clock our time, Tony.
Hey, take us through the mindset. We talk so much about the Warriors. Take us through the mindset of what the Rockets, where they are right now.
Confident. You know, they made the point that Mike said, hey, D'Antoni said, we're not going to change. This is who we are. But they got up and they played physical. And why? Because they early, those turnovers just shot us in the foot. So now they get out in the open floor. They finish. They make layups. Now all of a sudden the hoop looks bigger. But I thought they, because of that, they got physical on defense, and they went up and crowded us. Conversely, they beat us off the dribble, made us contract our defense, and then we were late getting out to the corners for contesting threes. I don't know that they're going to change one darn thing. They're just going to hope like heck that their role players, I'm talking about Ariza, talking about Tucker, Gordon coming off the bench, can any of them perform at that level like they did down there in Houston? Because you guys know, once you go on the road in the NBA playoffs, the further this goes along, the big players have to step up. And if you get role players to step up on the road, then you got a great chance to win. But it's going to be a terrific game.
Without a doubt, Gary St. Jean here on 95.7 The Game. Role players tend to play better at home also, yeah. Coach, and so that's why I would lean toward JaVale McGee in the starting lineup. Aside from his defensive inability on the perimeter to be able to contain most of the Rockets, does it provide any lift for the crowd and the team to have JaVale out there for 5 or 6 minutes?
It certainly does. I mean, we've got history behind us that tells us that he energizes the team. The players love playing with him. Now your question is, how are they going to attack the mismatch on the perimeter, small on big, say Harden on McGee? He said to change his style from Washington. He was in there and playing vertical and contesting shots. And with the Warriors, you got to get up and be able to play the pick and roll. You know, it's not out of the question. I'll make one statement to you. I call him Acapella, but Capella, he hasn't been as prominent. They haven't got him involved in the pick and roll as much. And I won't be surprised if they go to some small lineup. I think they kind of teased us with that in game two. What am I talking about? That means Gordon would be on the floor with Paul and Harden. Don't be surprised if Tucker's the five and Ariza's the four. You know, I love that when they go small. We're going all the way back to Nelly's days. But this is going to be a great chess match, you know, as to what takes place in terms of how you're getting your guys the ball in the right spots and how you're defending. And it's – I can't wait.
Hey, St. Louis, I'm looking at this game and I look at the different matchups. We're looking game one to game two. In game two, you saw at times the Dubs up pressing their defense, and you saw guys getting the backdoor cuts and getting the layups. Yep. You saw that the Dubs, the guys, you saw the Rockets try to play better defense. Couldn't, everyone says Clay, Steph, didn't have the shots. They were having to pass the ball because they were playing them tough. Why wasn't the cuts happening for them? Why, if they're playing the same type of defense, is it just lack of effort? What was the biggest turning point in your opinion?
Well, in the half-court game, we saw in game one that Clay was hot. So now when a player comes from low to high, meaning away from the basket toward the mid-court, they have a phrase called you top block them, meaning you try to take away that cut. And the read by Clay Thompson is to walk the guy up two steps, to make him go north, and then you go east. That means you cut to the basket. They were trying to deny the ball from him. In game two, they were just sharp in the sense that they were in their proper positions. They didn't overplay too much, and they didn't have to take much away because Clay didn't get a lot of touches. If anything, I thought some of the shots he got, he even forced. So this is how great players read what's going on the floor. Here's a simplistic phrase. Read the man in front of you. He'll tell you what to do. If the guy sags off, shoot the ball. If he gets up and overplays you and you're without the ball, back cut. If he really crowds you and takes away your jump shot and you've got the ball, drive it. So those are the simple things to look for come Sunday.
Good stuff, St. Lee. We'll see you out at Oracle on Sunday for your show.
Okay, fellas, have a great day.
How can it not be great, Saint, having already talked to you? Guy puts you in such a good mood every single time. The guy's amazing.
Fireball Friday.
Well, there's that, too.
Yeah.
Is that the only thing it is on this Friday? Because normally you have two or three different...
It's a drunk Friday.
Yeah, well, there's a couple.
They go hand in hand.
people have been, they've been asking for this, but you know what? I'm going to save it.
Oh, you know what they've been asking for?
What?
That on
oh
you.
My God, that
20
was
years in the business that and you was... can't even turn your mic on?
You know what I understand?
You know
why
what,
do you
Lo?
Care so much?
Do the honors. Because
why do you care?
So,
what,
to take each other down here.
It's yeah. It's like, why do you care? Why even bring it up?
Because you
I don't understand.
You have one job to do, and that is speak into a microphone that's on.
You want to know why?
The only
you
job,
know why?
Tommy,
you want to know why? You want to know
you're
why?
An amateur, because you're a hack.
Because I was watching a hot chick who's covering on Channel 2's covering the royal wedding, and I was looking at her, and I got caught up in it. That's why. That makes me a bad guy?
Which, by the way, the cake is lemon elderberry.
Did you see the blonde? Did you see that?
I actually didn't, but I'm
you sorry. Know why she didn't? She was focusing on her craft. That's
I hear
why.
You. I hear you.
We have a second flag. How dare you?
My God.
Button it up over there. Good Lord. This is not some nighttime mail it in from our house program.
Big boob trouble.
This is hardcore radio, Townie.
Oh, I know. I've heard.
Thank you.
I've heard.
What were you just playing over me right there?
It's been a request.
Big okay. boob trouble.
People have been asking
okay.
for it.
Okay. Yeah. There you go.
People have been asking. Is she going to be on from 10 to noon, too?
No, I do not believe so.
Are we
ready? Kidding me, Chris?
That would be my lovely bride right there. She's a sweetheart.
Oh, yeah.
She is a total sweetheart.
Molding our youth of tomorrow.
Is that really that easy? Just the man in front of you, he's going to tell you what he's going to do?
Usually. If
I like how he put that. It's like, you want to get simplistic? There you go.
Well, if you look at the way the body is, if he's shifted with his left foot back, you know that he's going to go underneath the screen. If he's hedging like he's going to be in front of the screen, you know he's going over the top of it. You can usually tell by the way the defender's lining up, yes.
And it's interesting just how he said, hey, if he sagged, you shoot. It's very simple. And that's what the Dubs, they have to get back to doing what they do well, moving the ball, but also don't pass up necessarily shots with in mind to go to KD. And that's what you know, you're hearing guys continue to say, that sometimes they have wide open looks, but instead they're saying, okay, I'm going this extra pass to KD to let him create. Sometimes you don't need to do that, because that will then get other guys in the flow. So I think that you're going to see a more aggressive team on Sunday. I think you're going to see guys moving the ball around and looking for their shot to go ahead and get other guys involved early, because we know KD can take over any game, any time he desires. It's the other guys that you want to help that, you know, cut KD down to 29 or 30 and have the other guys step up and get those extra shots, because of the fact if this team is humming and the ball's moving and everyone's getting their touches, they're pretty hard to beat.
Yeah, that the ball movement will be a big thing. Stop the isolation, too much of it in game two. Ball movement is their DNA. It's who they are. When they're moving the basketball and they're getting, you know, we look at all the assist numbers and you look at the passes and you look at when they hit these certain numbers, they hit 30 assists, they're almost unbeatable.
And it's more exciting.
Yeah.
When Clay's hitting his three and Steph's hitting his three and Iggy's hitting and then Draymond's getting down, the crowd's more in it. When it's a one man, when it's 1-on-5, it's not as exciting. You're like, okay, KD, this is awesome. It's amazing. But it's nothing like when the team as a whole is flowing.
It's time to open up the ticket window. You guys ready? 888-957-9570. First three callers, you're going to get tickets. I got three pairs to give away. Kenny Chesney with Old Dominion on June 20th, Shoreline Amphitheater. Hillbilly Rockstar, Out of Control. I hear his concert. He's like the one concert country guy I have not seen. I've seen most of the acts.
You're a big country fan. I didn't know that.
Wife is a big country fan.
Ah, there you go. There, by proxy, you then become a big country fan as well.
Yes.
I get that.
Yes.
Jason Aldean, little Toby Keith.
Seen that, seen that. I've seen just about, he's the, but I hear his concerts are just a wild party. So three tickets right now, first three callers, 888-957-9570.
It's exciting. It's great. I look forward to that. Why are you pointing to me? You gave out the phone number. You're jiggling the penalty flag that you earned with back-to-back flags.
Back-to-back.
And that's what I get from you, is a no-look point?
There you go. There you go.
It's great.
Are you coming to the game on Sunday?
Yeah, I am. I am, in fact. I haven't been to as many as I would have liked, but I will be there. Yes, press row, most likely upper press row, up there with the foreign journalists.
Yes.
Usually, I think last time it was Sweden, foreign. Japan, the Dibber. It's kind of the way we went. I think Russia was up there as well.
Wow.
A lot of international media for this team, obviously, Coach.
Did you hold court? Did you speak?
No. I'm not. I don't hold court, and of course there's no cheering in the press box, even though this technically isn't the press box, and you're surrounded by fans up there in the media area. I just usually go up there and just do my thing, stay, you know, close to the vest, keep it quiet, watch the game.
Hey, to me, the crowd will be electric. This is now going to be, because I don't think it's been as loud as we've seen in the past, or we've heard in the past. I think on Sunday, with it being 1-1, confidence is huge with Warrior fans, but also it's 1-1. So I think the Oracle's going to explode on Sunday.
I think you're
especially
right.
Especially if they get out to a hot start.
And, you know, we want people to be there right on time, get there early if you can. That way when the ball goes up, the crowd is full and the crowd is live. And this is one of the first times that you could say the Warriors actually, quote, need you as a crowd. And I think that speaks to what you're saying about the crowds haven't been really that loud or crazy because they haven't had to be. Everyone's been waiting for this series and this moment where game three, like you said, first time they've started on the road in a playoff series. Everyone's been waiting for this game, game three, and the anticipation of this big Rockets rematch.
And St. Lee said kind of what you and I talked about earlier, Lo. He would have no problem with Kevon Looney being in the starting lineup.
Yeah, because of the fact you know what you're going to get at him. You're going to get consistency. You're going to get a guy that knows the defense. You're going to get a guy that can guard one through five at times. And, yeah, at times, you know, when you're playing against a Chris Paul or Harden, yeah, they're going to get you. But you're going to defend those guys as well. And as long as you can make things difficult, he has made it difficult. Even though Chris Paul sometimes get it high off the glass, you see Looney right there challenging shots. And sometimes, you know, he's able to block, get a piece, and the shot, alter the shot or make them get rid of the ball. So you have that guy as a consistent player on your team. So absolutely go with Looney. I think they'll go with Looney. And I know JaVale McGee's hasn't been active. I really believe that he's going to be active this game. Dibs and I, we both think the same because he can give you some of those minutes, those 5-6 minutes of energy running up and down the court, being disruptive, getting in the passing lane, doing some things, being a rim protector. It's just sometimes when you get a lot of the picks and rolls, certain things, sometimes he can get lost. But here's a guy that you can play sparingly minutes. So I look for them to go with Looney. I look for McGee also to be active.
Well, you think about Looney and you think about just how, you know, he had the hip surgery. He got more professional, started worrying more about his diet and working out. And what he's become is a guy with his size and his athleticism. I mean, he can give Harden some problems. Is Harden going to beat him at times? No doubt, but he's going to make him work for it.
Yeah. His length, like you say, his ability to not buy pump fakes is the thing about him that makes me most excited about him guarding James Harden, because Harden wants to lure you into fouls. He's going to nudge you. He's going to Euro step into you. He's going to step back daddy, all those things, and pump fake. And Kevon Looney doesn't buy the pump fake. And that's partly why I don't think Jordan Bell is an ideal match in this series, because defensively he is a bit undisciplined. And JaVale McGee, he doesn't move quite as well as Kevon Looney does out on the perimeter. I'd like to see JaVale McGee, though, get the start, because the crowd would love it. The team gets energized when JaVale's out there. And if you find after 4 minutes that he's getting cooked and you're down 12-4 and it's not working, you can pull him out. But give JaVale a chance off the top.
Yeah, and he gives you that easy two. Throw it up to the bucket and he dunks it. Crowd goes crazy and it's an easy two.
Right, right. And I think also he has the ability to deny Clint Capella, or Acapella, as St. Lee calls him, and deny him in his alley-oop at the rim, which is an easy two for Houston as well.
Yeah, he does. But JaVale McGee, we know some of the things that he can bring to the table. JaVale's a guy that we know that can get up. You know, he's a rim protector at times. It's just a lot of times at times you think that he's confused or get lost or get caught up in some different things. So it's going to be interesting to see the different perspective of what Steve Kerr is going to do. Is he going to activate this guy? I know that he hasn't been activated the last couple of games, but it's going to be interesting, especially at home. He does bring a lot of energy. The crowd gets going, especially when he's high flying and sweat throwing it down and Draymond and the guys are throwing him to alley hoops. And this team, they seem like they love the guy. They love JaVale McGee, what he brings to the table. But I would bring him off the bench, and I think that he can still bring those same attributes to the game.
And think about it, we're talking about him, and he hasn't even played in the series.
Yeah.
Not 1 minute.
Now might be the time.
Well, neither did Nick Young play, really. You know, everyone was like, okay, where's Nick Young? All of a sudden, he starts, and everyone's like, what the hell were you thinking, Kerr? And goes out there, and he puts up, what, 9, goes out there, and he plays well. Look how he's played against the Rockets. So you look at Kerr and what he's been able to do. He's been masterful in who he puts in the game.
And this, in many ways, is going to be on Steve Kerr to make these adjustments for Game 3 and figure out what combination out there gives you the best chance. Now, if it's the team with Andre Iguodala in the starting lineup, the so-called Hampton Five, then maybe that's the lineup you go with. But what we saw in Game 2 was an ineffective Andre Iguodala. And for me, he is much more effective when he comes off the bench. So I would even start Kevon Looney, certainly, over Iguodala. I'd like to see JaVale McGee. If not, go with Kevon and keep Andre Iguodala with that second unit.
Yeah, because it was interesting when Houston went small. And they went small last game. We talked about that with Papa. It was about 4 minutes, 4.5 minutes in the first quarter. They went small, and it worked for them. So it's what we're going to see a lot of small lineups both ways.
Yeah, and I think that Houston showed in Game 2 that they have the ability to compete with the Warriors' small lineup, especially when Klay Thompson is not involved offensively and Steph is not hitting and Andre Iguodala plays mediocre at best. All of a sudden, Houston's small lineup looks better than Golden State's.
And we're going to find out from Sean Livingston. He's going to join us at 9:45. Lo, what exactly are they thinking for Game 3? Any adjustments, any tweaks, what they have been working on? Because that's the thing, when you have all these days, you got time to prepare. Maybe mix it up a little bit.
I think you're going to hear him say, focus, play our type of ball, discipline. Move the ball, you know, pass up a good shot for a great shot. Play who we are. We're the defending champs. You're going to hear him say, look, this is a game. It's going to be a tough game. It's going to be competitive. But we got to stay disciplined. We got to do the things that we've been taught. We can't just play any type. We got to move the ball, do things that we know that we can do. What's got us here? I think those are the things you're going to hear from Sean. You're going to hear this guy talk about, hey, we know what we need to do. We got to take care of our business. We can't worry about what Houston's going to do. We got to move the ball. We got to create opportunities. We got to get our guys going. And that's what I think you're going to hear Sean Livingston talk about.
Yeah, well, and we're going to throw it to Sean about what we heard earlier today from Doug Christie. I mean, Doug Christie talking about got to get tougher.
You know, more than anything, you guys, I think that there's a level of physicality that the Warriors are going to have to play with. There's a level of nastiness. I know Draymond plays with it. He is on that edge. But this is a team that's built, and they've said as much. I said it earlier. They're built to beat these guys. You want to, if you're the Warriors, strike first, be physical.
There you go.
Strike first and be physical. Certainly at home, you want to strike first and get the Roracle crowd to be Roracle, not be Oracle with people sitting on their hands and not putting on the gold T-shirt and not being a part of what's going on. It's changed, Townie, over the course of these last 4 years.
Yeah.
The fan base has gotten a little bit more, I think, not necessarily soft, but they've gotten to be a little bit more disaffected by all the success. It's not new anymore. It was crazy in the first year they won the title. You didn't see it coming, and everyone could embrace it, and it was wild, and it was loud, and now the vibe has changed a little bit.
But this is, the Warriors have been threatened. I like going back to that word because that's the word Steve Kerr uses. This team, the Fangs come out when they feel threatened. I think everybody feels a little, you know.
A hungry dog hunts best.
This is not exactly what, you know, usually it's, hey, win 2 games at Oracle, then you head to Game 3, right? And then you're playing that on the road. Well, now it's, the script is flipped. You started on the road. You're coming back here, something you haven't seen. A series tied 1-1 coming back to Oracle. So I think because of the scenario, you're going to see kind of an old school Oracle. I at least hope. And we know the Rockets start out hot. You want to prevent them from doing that. You don't want to do one of these 56-56 halftime, and then you're coming out relying on the old third quarter.
No, you'd like to get up on top. This Warrior team is so good at front running. When they lead in games early in the ball game, then that third quarter comes, they tend to put it out of reach. And certainly there'll be some nervous moments if they do fall behind, but they're such a good third quarter team that even if they are tied at the half, you can't be too concerned because the third quarter is where they do their work.
And a lot of people, I remember my coaches, and I think any sport, coaches will tell you, and I guarantee Sean will, do your job. Guys got to do their job. And what I mean by that, stay in front of your man. Don't start looking around, and all of a sudden here goes a Capella on a backdoor cut because you took your eyes off your work. Stay in front of your guys. Fundamentals. This team's got to go back to what we know fundamentally. Take care of the ball. They got to take care of the ball. Don't turn the ball over as much, and you'll be fine.
There's a tough question, though, for Steve Kerr. Can I give that question to you?
Sure.
Okay. Well, I'm going to give that question to you because it's not an easy one. And I remember we talked about it yesterday, and
a lot of people were on this guy. By the way, Judy and Fremont, thank you very much. Just want to say thank you to Judy and Fremont. By the way, Anna, we're going to have the Greek Festival tomorrow.
That is correct. Today it starts, actually. Opens
it starts today.
Yep, going right after here, after work. Got my spanakopita all ready, everything.
See, there it is.
There you go.
She's straight San Ramon until it comes time for a Greek word, and then she's transported immediately to Kalamata, to the old country.
All of a sudden, she's in Athens.
It's like when you see those like news reporters, you know, the assailant, Diego Garcia, and then they continue on with, you know, whatever the broadcast report is. So hilarious.
I do want my Greek sports update at some point.
But
working on it.
But I have a tough question, and we're going to throw it to Dibs.